NASA, the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, presents The Space Story. Lifting off from Florida in August 1992 atop a powerful Titan booster, the U.S. Mars Observer headed for a rendezvous with the Red Planet. Some 9 months later, after chalking up millions of miles cruising through interplanetary space, Mars Observer neared its target. Back on Earth, ground controllers prepared to fire the spacecraft's braking engines, motors that would slow the robotic probe into Mars orbit. Suddenly, contact with Mars Observer was lost. Signals sent from Earth to regain communication with the satellite were repeatedly tried, but to no avail. For reasons that may never be confirmed, Mars Observer was lost to space.
It hurt badly. That's the first planetary spacecraft we've lost in this way in 27 years. And so we finally had to face up to the idea that it's getting late, guys. We've probably lost this bird. That realization is what hurt.
That's Wes Huntress, NASA's Associate Administrator for Space Science. While the loss of the Mars Observer was a setback for NASA and the scientific community, Huntress explains why the exploration of Mars remains a priority.
Mars is like a small Earth that went dry. It's about half the diameter of our own planet. It has polar caps just like ours do, and there's a significant amount of water in those polar caps. It's the planet that is most like Earth in our solar system.
As a way to rekindle exploration of the Red Planet, NASA has established the Mars Surveyor Program. Its first duty is to chart the complex nature of Mars terrain on a global basis, one task originally assigned to the ill-fated Mars Observer.
Once that's done, then we can pick the right landing sites. We will be able to have high-resolution images of the surface, so we'll know this is where we want to go to look at, for example, a volcano. And that's the information we need to send our landers after that.
Every other year, starting in 1996, NASA is planning to dispatch two separate spacecraft toward Mars and carry out a varied set of investigations in orbit and on the surface of the faraway world.
I think that's what we want to go back to, smaller spacecraft, less expensive launch vehicles, and distributed risks. So at every opportunity, we at least have a very high probability of success.
One of the two 1996 Mars spacecraft will carry to the Red Planet's surface a passenger, but of the robotic kind.
It carries a small micro rover that will test surface mobility on the planet and as a means to deploy instruments such as seismometers on the soil. And it'll also put a little instrument up against various rocks on the surface to do rock compositions. And I think this is going to be an extremely exciting mission.
According to NASA's Huntress, not only the United States is pursuing Mars exploration, other nations are also planning to reach out to the Red Planet.
So the whole purpose of this international group is to put together an international strategy so we all work and cooperate together in our robotic exploration of the planet so we don't duplicate each other's efforts and waste a lot of money. And that is coming together.
As we enter the 21st century, Mars will be dotted with a network of small science stations and completely mapped by orbiting spacecraft. Huntress expects a space probe will also land on Mars, then return back samples to Earth for intensive analysis, the ultimate holy grail of Mars robotic exploration. What next? Eventually humans will make the long sojourn, he believes, dotting the distant shores of Mars with footprints.
So there's a lot about Mars we do not know yet. Why, in fact, its climate seems to have gone through major swings, and why, in fact, it seems to have had running water in the past, and what has changed, and in fact, could there have been past life there? Mars remains a very fascinating planet for us.
This has been The Space Story, brought to you by this station and NASA. For the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, I'm Bob Tebow. We'll be right back.